the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. For today we encounter our summer's greatest feast, the Feast of St. Mary the Virgin. And all through the traditions of Christianity, there are many titles to this day. And I can fixate the Christians who anticipated today to the glory of the congregation. The Feast of St. Mary the Virgin, are what some of our Orthodox brothers and sisters call it, the Dormition of Mary, the Fallen Sleeping Mary. Some of our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters call it the Assumption of Mary. Some of our more Protestant brothers and sisters tend to call it the Day of Mary. But we all put together to commemorate one thing, and that is the Rotation of Mary. And what was the Rotation of Blessed Mary? But to bring Jesus to this world, to be incarnate with the eternal love of God to come to this earth. And to look at this through the lens of Anglicanism, I propose today that her vocation did not end when Jesus was born, that first is the day in the calendar of time, but it continues still. Mary still brings Jesus to the heart of men and women. I think that Mary has an approachability. She has a magic of all the other things. She connects human beings more than anything. She's the ultimate icon of Christ. And what is an icon? An icon is a cross, a stained glass window, a painting on a board, a saint, a grandmother, a Sunday school teacher, a person who draws attention to itself or his or herself and then to the reality it represents. We discussed the worship icons and venerate them. On Good Friday, we remember why not the cross is praised and we venerate the cross. We come and we touch, we kiss, we bow. We venerate the cross and then it directs us to that which represents the unmeasured love of God. That's what Mary does. Mary draws into herself and gives always to Jesus the Son. The closer we come to Mary, the closer we come to Jesus. We're thinking of an illustration of this. I think that one of the beautiful works of art is what encapsulates this truth. There's a fresco found in Florence, in the 1400s, by a Renaissance artist named Masaccio. He died in his plane. There's not much left of his work. And he was one of the first to master linear perspective. You go today into the church, the Dominican church, and you can see the fresco of the Trinity, and it's almost three-dimensional. And for us to take it for granted, but for those of the 15th century, it was astonishing. And you look at the fresco of the Trinity. We have God the Father, a God representing the Holy Spirit, and then Jesus on the cross. And St. John, Mary, and other people, we need to go and get one of the fresco. And they're all adoring the Trinity. They're all gazing at the Trinity. Except for Mary. Mary is turning for her son, for her faith, her faith in the Lord. She has that connectivity. She draws you to her, and then she turns for her son. And thus, that is from the vocation of how Mary brings people to her son. We often have the phrase for love, Jesus through Mary. And then we come to Jesus through Mary. Not everyone, but many. And I am one of them. I'd like to share a very personal story about how I came to love Mary as I do, and then to see how that story might bring us to us as a parent. I grew up in a little parish in North Carolina in the South, of what we call a low church tradition, more Protestant tradition. And there was a simple church, we didn't talk ourselves very much, but frequent by Mr. and my father, and every word passed over the study of the day, two words of purpose in the soul. And I remember once a funny situation that happened in a little controversy, someone died and left in St. Francis said to the garden of the church. And it caused a controversy. Because you can't put most stones, you can put a snake in the garden, and one of them said, well, take a snake to Rome. And it was the day of prayer, and finally a compromise was made. That's the golden garment, but not the temple. The seed had to touch the ground, that had more power. The power was thrown out.
And that's why I was cursing you and everything through them. It was a happy memory in my childhood. That's probably the only reason I became a So left to those calls in the seminary, I participate in more evangelical pastors, and they help me appreciate all that we do here today is more beautiful. And then I went to the junior seminary, where we've been talking about Ignacio, a seminary attend, Carol McGaughey taking classes there. We have a close relationship more along with the junior seminary, established 18 people. And one of the things is they have the students take a sourcing class. We also do classes about Lutheran seminary and Methodist seminary. The Catholic University can help us understand other traditions. How does this is the ministry, how to study a Catholic university? I've been to monasteries before, I've been to a lot of Catholic church before, there's nothing new about that. The Catholic Scriptures is something about the ministry, how to study. I went to that. And there was a spirituality that I had never seen before in my life. So every Friday night, I returned. And I became friends with many of those children to be proud. And one of them was one of my best friends to this day. And after several months of attending, I was walking in the garden with one of the young spirit age young. I said, Jim, what is it? What is it that I've been in church all my life? What is it that you have in the shop? And so David, Mary. Just a minute. He ran up the room and came back and gave me a rosary. And he said, I want you to come to know that you can be. And you come to love Mary. You will love and experience Jesus in a way you've never known before. And he was right. And that day until now, Mary has helped me love Jesus. And how does this thing up to us that I believe in a parent that honors honor to location, and has a devotion to her, has a certain fortuna, a blessing of God. And this church in 1848 has 10 images of Mary, the devotion of Mary, has that fortuna. Every Sunday at 9:30, a small room for people get together to pray the words on behalf of the family. Does everyone have to do it? Does everyone have to come to church during the night? They do it to represent the family. They're members of the choir. Everyone has to sing in the front? No. But they just represent the family. We're the veterans. Does everyone have to sit on the afternoon or the veterans? No. They represent the family. So there are those who come to Jesus and Mary, who pray, who add, who give church, and bless the church in our lives. And today is the day when we simply give strength to that church in our lives. So whether we see Mary through the most Protestant of women, or to the most Catholic of women, to the most Orthodox of women, or Anglican of women. Today is the day that you honor the occasion to bring Jesus to the world to use our lives. And Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.